Oh, hey, I'm so glad that you found us. My name's Michael, and I get to be the pastor at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church in Lakeland, Florida. You're listening to the It's Better When You're Here podcast, where every week we upload the messages that are preached at our church every Sunday. We hope by listening to this, you feel safe, heard, and loved by the God that created you. We hope this message makes an impact in your life. If listening to this makes a difference, reach out to us and connect with us either on social media or on our website, shepherdsumc.com. All right, here's the message. So this morning, it is Vision Sunday. I bet you didn't know that. It's our chance as a church to share something really exciting that was developed this weekend by our leadership team, a brand new vision statement for Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church. For the longest time, for the last 20 plus years, the vision of Shepherd's has been to connect, grow, and serve. And that has served this church beautifully. It has made a huge difference in the life of our community, in our neighborhood, and it is time for us to see something different. Because this is a season of change. If this is your first Sunday with us, I just want to share a little bit. In just a few weeks, we will take on a new property. We will become one church in two locations. We'll be in Highland City and here on Shepherd Road. So it's a season of massive change. And during change, it's important to identify what needs to stay. I don't know if you've ever moved before. I'm sure all of us have at some point. We've moved a few times in our marriage, in our relationship. And it is a bad thing to be a tchotchke when it's my job to pack. There's a good chance that someone's going to be gifted a thing that I don't want to move again. Now, I will say that there have been moves where we've moved a cardboard box full of stuff that stayed in the box to another location, but that is not the rule. This last move, when we moved to Lakeland, I donated all of my seminary books, and it felt good, man. Oh, boy. I'd moved those things from townhome to apartment to other place, and then I was like, I'm free. They can't make me go back to school. They can't do it. I'm out. But during change, it's important to identify what needs to stay, what important things get moved to the next location. And when it comes to our life as a church, this journey is long. We need to identify what will help us go far. We need to identify the things that need to stay with us in the moving truck, that stay close at hand so that we know what we're doing, what we have, what we're carrying. The thing I'm going to say a lot today, the first thing you can write in your bulletin, or if you prefer digital notes, you can go to our website right now on your device. And at the very top, you'll see a button that says Sermon Notes. Click on that. You'll be able to fill out digital notes on your phone. But the first thing you want to write down is this. Having vision requires the church to have steadfast faith in the same direction. Having vision requires the church to have steadfast faith in the same direction. Our passage today comes from Habakkuk chapter 2. Yes, Habakkuk, that literally pulled a muscle in my neck to say that. You probably have not read Habakkuk very much. You might be peeling the pages apart in your paper Bible. This is a minor prophet. I promise you, you probably won't hear from him a whole lot, but it deals all with vision. And if it's Vision Sunday, we got to talk about vision, right? So you've been sat for about 2.5 minutes, which of course means that by regulation, I got to stand you back up. So stand as you're able for the hearing of God's word, Habakkuk chapter 2. Take, I don't know, stretch if you need to, all right? You know how I ramble on. This is your last chance. Hear from verses 1 through 4. I will take my post. I will position myself on the fortress. I will keep watch to see what the Lord says to me and how he will respond to my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write a vision and make it plain upon a tablet so that a runner can read it. There is still a vision for the appointed time. It testifies to the end, does not deceive. If it delays, wait for it, for it is surely coming. It will not be late. Some people's desires are truly audacious. They don't do the right thing. But the righteous person will live honestly. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Woo! You can have a seat. So this passage, Habakkuk, the first chapter of Habakkuk is just an airing of grievances. It's like Festivus, right in the middle of the Bible. Habakkuk's got lots of complaints and needs God to hear them. And so he's talking about how there's violence in his community. There's injustice in his community. Does that sound familiar? He's airing his grievances to God because he doesn't like the way things are and he thinks God needs to change it. For us, it's injustice, it's violence. I would also say that we've got a lot of loneliness in our community. We've got sin that's tearing people down and holding people back. I see those things and I'm wondering when God will respond to my complaint. Maybe you came in here with some complaints, some notes for God, some edits you'd make with the current way things are. I hope you have. If not, you can borrow some of mine. You see, we come to God with complaints. And what does God say to Habakkuk? How are we going to fix this? You know, it is pretty easy to go to God and say, hey, I don't like the way things are going. God, I need you to shift them and change them. But oftentimes what God is going to do is say to us, how are we going to fix it? You see, it's up to us, all of us. We are Christ's presence here on earth. If you follow Jesus, we are the hands and feet of Christ. We are the ones that carry that vision, carry that change. So what does God tell Habakkuk? Well, first of all, write out your vision. I wonder, friends, I wonder if Habakkuk had a lot of complaints, but wasn't willing to identify the ways that Habakkuk was a part of the things that were wrong. Maybe Habakkuk was feeding into that violence, that injustice, that loneliness, that sin. Maybe Habakkuk really liked to sit back and say, you know what we should have done? A Monday morning quarterback sort of guy. Maybe Habakkuk was saying, you know, if I was in charge, I would. I've got a couple things that I would do if I was king of the world. You know, I would increase prison terms for those that hit reply all to a group email when the response, if that's you, please stop. Please change, okay? I want redemption for you today. But that's what Habakkuk was doing, saying, hey, God, I need you to make some changes, some edits. And God says, I need you to think about what it's actually going to look like. You see, because vision keeps us honest in our living. The reason why the leadership team came together this weekend, the leadership of our church came together to develop a new vision, is that we needed to be honest in the way that we live. It is easy to say that we want to see things change. It is harder to live in to that change. See, having vision requires the church to have steadfast faith in the same direction. So this weekend, I had my friend Erica Allen come in. She's a pastor of a church in Tampa. She came over. She led us. Erica's a wonderful leader. She's from North Carolina. She said a couple words I didn't know the meaning of, because she's got one of those thick North Carolina accents that have so much cheer wine in them. Sometimes it's hard to understand, but she pushed us, she prodded us, she drove us towards something new. What was great about this time too was that we also had some of the leaders from Highlands come and join us. And so it wasn't just the vision of the people that meet on Shepherd Road. It was the vision of both locations mushing together. I'm going to give you the vision over the course of the morning. And the first bit, what we begin with, the very first words of our vision statement is this: through God's grace. Through God's grace. This is where we begin as a church. One of the points of discussion we had when we started talking about saying that we were doing something through God's grace is, wouldn't someone assume that as a church, we're doing something through God's grace? Which, yes, that is an assumption that you make. You walk into a Wendy's, you think you'll get a cheeseburger. You walk into a church, you think people are going to be talking about God's grace, right? But too many churches, I think we have seen, do their mission through their own righteousness. Or they do their own mission through their own ability to create a wonderful show. They've got great lights. They've got great music. They've got an LED wall that costs more than this building. That's how they do their mission. They got dynamic preaching, a magnetic pastor. That's how they do their mission. But this church, how we're going to do it is only going to be through God's grace. You see, reliance on God's grace reminds us that it's God at work, not us. It's so easy that when you look at a church, when you see what a church does, you think, oh, wow, I wonder what that leadership team, what that pastor is doing. I should read her book, because then I'll read her book and then I can do that here at my church. I'll steal all of their ideas, which all good pastors steal. Let me just tell you. I told a friend of mine that our next sermon series is going to be called Storytellers, based off of VH1 Storytellers. There's a thin demographic that's going to get that. Our intern, yeah, amen, I see that hand. Our intern said, what's a VH1? And I was like, cool. Great. I'm going to go take some fish oil pills. This is tough. And said, oh, I'm going to be stealing all of that. And I said, okay, that's good. But we can't just steal from others. We instead have to rely on God's grace, because here's the thing, God's grace will always reach further than we could ever possibly imagine. God's grace is going to reach further than we could ever possibly imagine. When we gathered together in a circle yesterday with the leadership team to pray, these are the leaders, the people that have been voted on and voted in by all of you that are members of this church to lead our church. And I looked at all the people and I realized there were three people that were here at Shepherd's when I got here in 2021. It literally means I could not have imagined the people in that circle because I didn't know them yet. But because of God's grace, we went further than we could ever possibly imagine. Having vision requires the church to have steadfast faith in the same direction. So we begin with through God's grace. We then go to we embrace and connect. Through God's grace, we embrace and connect. Our church, this church, however many locations we may be in, whatever place we may find ourselves, we will be the church to embrace the marginalized. We won't just welcome. We won't say all are welcome. Sure, fine, come in. We will embrace them. Luke 15, there's this wonderful story that Jesus tells called the prodigal son. There's this young guy who defames his father, wants his inheritance early, runs off, insults him as he goes, and all of a sudden finds that life in the big city isn't worth it. And so as he comes back covered in sin, covered in shame, the God figure in the story, the father, sees him at a distance. And while he was still a long way off, runs him down and gives him a hug. That to me is the image of who Shepherd's is. While those who think that they could never be welcomed in the church, those could never be happy here in a church community or wanted in a church community, we will see them from a long way off, chase them down, and embrace them. But we don't just stop at the embracing, we move towards connection. We connect because all of us are in need of a change. I know that there are parts of my life that I want to see different tomorrow, next week, next month, in a year. I hope that in 10 years, I recognize very little about who I am as a person right now. I want to change. In this church, we will embrace and connect because the love of Christ is too great to leave us the way we were. The love of Christ is too great to leave us the way we were. You see, having vision requires the church to have steadfast faith in the same direction. Through God's grace, we embrace and connect with all people. With all people. It's not a catchphrase. We mean it. And that's the next part of the vision. With all people. Church that is monochromatic needs redemption. Let me say that again. A church that is monochromatic needs redemption. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said it well. The most segregated hour of the week is 10:30 on a Sunday morning. For too long, the church, the American church, has allowed ourselves to be separated on racial lines, socioeconomic lines. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves going to church with people that look a lot like us, think a lot like us, act a lot like us, feel a lot like us. I don't know if you know this, but when you get to heaven, English won't be the only language that's spoken. People won't look like your church. It will look different. It will be changed. It will not be monochromatic. And any church that is monochromatic needs redemption. And so when we say all people, we need to mean all people. This will not be the most comfortable, but it will be worth it. Friends, I don't know another way to put this other than a lot of you are Methodists. The potlucks will get infinitely better. Amen. You know, I just love the reality that I grew up in a church where it was a lot of macaroni and cheese. You know what I mean? But if we actually, as a church, will lean in to be welcoming of all people, might be a little bit more spice. You know, I'm just saying, like, there's a chance for us to look a little bit more like heaven. Having vision requires the church to have steadfast faith in the same direction. Through God's grace, we embrace and connect with all people and together experience this vision statement. How we're going to do church, how we're going to be the church in the world, ties our redemption with our neighborhood. Together we will experience. Meaning, we know as a church, we will not be able to fully experience the love of God unless we are together. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, said this: there is no personal holiness, meaning I will not be like Jesus, unless there is social holiness. Meaning, if my neighborhood is a mess, I'm not going to be like Jesus. Now, John Wesley did also say, my neighborhood is going to continue to look like a mess unless I tend to my own garden and find my own holiness and become more like Jesus. But we as a church, we will tie our experience, our redemption to our neighborhood. We are all in for this neighborhood and all in for Highland City. This will not just be some stepping stone to another place, or this will not be some sort of monastery for the holy that insulate ourselves and set ourselves apart. No, we will only be able to experience God's grace if we are together. Without bringing the world along, we are going to miss out on the fullness of the kingdom. Without bringing the entire world along, we are going to be missing out on the fullness of the kingdom. Having vision requires the church to have steadfast faith in the same direction. And this is the last bit of our vision statement. Through God's grace, we embrace and connect with all people and together experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. The love of Christ is what we experience first. We want to be a church of uncommon welcome. The first thing that you should recognize when you get inside this building or the building over in Highland City is an uncommon welcome. And then immediately after, we want you to experience a God who loves you. A God who loves you. You know, I've shared with you before, the God that I met when I was a kid was a God who'd rather be doing something else, but is stuck with me. The kind of love that is the kind of love that you get from someone who works at the DMV. Not really the happiest sort of love. But the God that we actually see in Scripture is a God who is crazy about us, who meets us from a long way off. The love of Christ is something that we will show our community. Anyone that comes in here will find a community who actually wants them there. And then from that love, we will move into the light. When we talk about the light of Christ, what we are talking about is a way out of darkness. Friends, I don't know if you know this, but we live in a world where there are people grasping for the light switch in a dark, dark world. There's too much week at the end of the money. They're in a job that takes from their heart, their body, and their soul, and they are grasping for a light and they cannot find it. We will be the one that lights the light, that turns on the switch. It's a chance to change our own life, this light that will drive our own darkness out. It's a new way to see. We as a church will provide a light to allow people to see. How many of you have ever gotten a text at a, you know, maybe 2 a.m. and all of a sudden, just the darkest light on your phone can light up the entire room? Anyone? All of a sudden, I can see the grains on the carpet in my bedroom because someone texted me at 2 a.m., which you ever text me at 2 a.m. We are no longer friends. We are enemies. But we will be that church that turns on that light to end the darkness in our neighborhood and the lives of our friends. And then lastly, we will experience together the hope of Jesus Christ, a hope for a new tomorrow, a hope for a world transformed, and above all, a hope that makes our hearts devoted to service. This weekend, we talked about maybe the purpose of the church is to serve our community. And the pushback that we felt in the scripture and when we talked together was that the church's job is not to serve. The church's job is to make people so devoted to the hope that God has placed in our lives that the only thing we could possibly do is to serve. Our job is to fill us up with the Holy Spirit so much that we can't help it. All of a sudden, we are serving our neighbors in a real and meaningful way. Through God's grace, we embrace and connect with all people and together experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. All right, back to the passage. Back to Habakkuk. You see, Habakkuk was tired of the way things were. God told him to draw out what right looked like. This is what your leadership team has done. What right looks like is our vision statement. But then the vision had to become real. You see, the vision had to become real for Habakkuk. The vision had to become real for Habakkuk. It had to stop being a vision. It had to start becoming reality. And so without consistent faithfulness, a vision is just boilerplate. You know what we could do? We could take this vision statement, stick it on our website, put it on our governing documents, throw it on a t-shirt. I don't know. Probably too big for a bumper sticker. You'll get rear-ended. Someone trying to read it. With God's help. Okay. Whoa. But with consistent faithfulness, a vision can actually matter. With principles guiding a church, a vision can actually matter. Because having vision requires the church to have steadfast faith in the same direction. Our action towards the vision that God has placed in our hearts will be guided by five principles that your leadership team has identified. These are the five things that will govern all of our decisions as a church family. Number one, we listen first to God. Now, this doesn't mean that we listen first to God and then we check a couple blogs and then we, you know, just kind of listen to what everyone else says. No, but rather it says, we are going to be so audacious, so countercultural, that we're going to listen to God first. It's going to make us a little weird. It's going to make us a little different. The second one is that we are going to make thoughtful connections. We are not going to go door to door and bang on doors and beg people to come to church. Instead, we're going to be the kind of people that make connections that are thoughtful and meaningful to the end that we might bring others along. We will be people that bring others along, not just so that we can fill up seats, but because we know that we are better together, that it is better when you are here. That is who we will be. We are a generous people. I don't know if you saw in the slides, but one of the things we got to do this week was vacation Bible school. I met Jesus at a vacation Bible school over Jug of Juice and Goldfish. You remember Jug of Juice? It's corn syrup in a little plastic container. So good. I met Jesus at Vacation Bible School. I got to get dressed up as a pirate and tell people about God. That only happens because you are a generous church. Fun fact, I got stopped at a thing that my daughter was at last night, like I was a celebrity. I want to tell you that I'm a better man and it didn't make my head get bigger, but I'd rather not lie to you. Anyways, It happens because of your generosity that we're able to do things like Vacation Bible School. And above all, friends, above all, we are bold. We are a bold people that will do things that look strange, that look different, that don't make a whole lot of sense. But friends, the bold will change the world. The world is desperate for a bold church. The world is desperate for a church that will see the way things that have been done and think, could things be done a little bit differently? A bold church will see the way things are and know that that's not the way that it needs to be. We are bold. Having vision requires the church to have steadfast faith in the same direction. All right, so you've got two homework assignments this week. Number one, I want you to take your bulletin home and say the vision and the principles every day. As a part of worship, we're going to say the vision together on most Sundays, and the principles will be for all of us that lead. It will be something that encourages us, that helps us to question things, to make sure that what we're doing is what we're called to do. I want you to say the principles and the vision every day. And then the second thing is this. Next week, we are starting a new kind of stewardship campaign. If you're a Christian or raised in the church, you've heard the word stewardship before. If you're normal, you don't know what that word means. Stewardship is the churchy word for money and how we as a church fund what God has called us to do. This is a different kind of stewardship campaign. That stewardship campaign is coming later in the year. It's still coming. But this stewardship campaign is a little bit different. And it's called Who's Your Five? This stewardship campaign will call on all of us here that are a part of this church, whether you're a member or not, if this is your church home, it's a challenge to all of us to bring along five people over the course of the next year. And I'm asking you this week to prepare your hearts for that, because I know that that will challenge all of us. It will challenge all of us because it is going to require us to be bold, to be generous, to make thoughtful connections, and to listen first to God. It will require us to bring others along. It will not be easy, but it will be worth it. And so those are your two homework assignments. I want you to take your bulletin home, say the vision and principles every day, and with those vision and principles in mind, prepare your hearts for our stewardship campaign that begins next week, entitled, Who Are Your Five? See, having vision requires the church to have steadfast faith in the same direction. I want to have this faith. It won't be easy, and there will be times where I'll need you to have faith for me, because I won't be able to. But I know that through God's grace, we as a church, we will and we already embrace and connect with all people. And I have this faith today, hear this faith today, that together we will experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.
All right, friends, I hope you heard something in today's message that made an impact in your life, helped you know that you're loved by God, and inspired you to do something about the gospel that is offered to you. Now receive this blessing as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.